Okay, my title is ABC. I don't know if you can remember your first day at school. For some of you, it's a long time ago, I know. I remember it for two reasons. First of all, there was a big chart on the wall. A is for apple, B is for ball, and that kind of stuff. And the second thing was that she gave out strings and beads and said, I want you to thread the beads on the string, and whatever you do, you must not get a knot in the string. And she gave me a bit of string, she gave everybody a bit of string. Mrs. Hicks, her name was. And she gave everybody a bit of string and a load of beads and whatever. And then when I looked at my string, it already had knots in. So it was my first day at school. I went up and said, excuse me, miss, I've already got knots. And she slapped me across the back of the legs for putting the knots in the string. Very memorable first day in school. But I want to focus on the ABC. Not the ABC of school, A for apple. But the ABC of everyday life, because it's right in you. Every day that you live on planet Earth, here's the story. We just had the story. I don't need to repeat it. So as you've just heard it already in the reading and in the kid's story. Who told you that you were naked? Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. You know the story. Afraid, blame, cover up. That's it. ABC. And it's the same all the time. Not just in Parliament, it's not just the Tories blaming the Labour and everybody blaming the Lib Dems or whatever. Everybody passes the buck. Everybody tries to cover up. You've seen it. I've seen it. This is the way it is. This is the way it's always been. And since this day in Genesis chapter 3. A few years ago, I bumped into a couple. I hadn't seen them since I was a very young Christian. And the first thing she said to me when she eventually twigged who I was, I didn't recognise them. She remembered, vaguely remembered who I was. And the first question was, still with God, are you? I am, I said. And when I look at the word and I look at myself, nothing else makes sense. And I was quite surprised that he stood there and said, fair point. Because actually, if you've got any kind of logic and let's look at the situation, something's wrong. Tragedy of Caroline Flack. Pretty. Talented, bright, despairing. Why? It's tragic, man. And it's because this ABC happens every day on planet Earth. It's been your story umpteen times, hasn't it? Why? Don't you ever ask why? Because when Adam and Eve fell, they dragged a whole lot of us down with them. And so every day on planet Earth is afraid, blame, cover up. And I want you to think this morning. I really want every one of you to think, whether you say you're Christians or not, about your own experience of afraid, blame, cover up. A, B, C. I remember when I was a kid I was in top class in juniors, asking the teacher, who was a man, sir, asking him something, and he was busy trying to do something else, trying to set up something, and I asked him a question, and in the end, he messed up completely what he was trying to set up, and he turned and he shouted, look what you made me do. I remember thinking, well, actually, is that true? I didn't make you do anything, did I? I remember a church leader once saying some very cruel things to me in temper, and then feeling a bit embarrassed because there were two or three witnesses. And so he said something like this, oh, I've said more than I intended to, but you made me do it. Well, did I? Did I make him do it? Afraid? Shift the blame. You made me do it. So often, we're just terrified of what other people think of us, aren't we? Some of you, you're scared what I think of you. We're afraid of losing popularity, afraid of tarnishing our reputation, so we cover up as far as humanly possible. You know, I've used this before. There was a lady who was here when I first came, subsequently left the church. Before she left, she came up to me once after a message a bit like this, and she said, when you say these things, do you mean me? Because she somehow thought that I was talking to everybody else, but not her. Somebody once said to me in this church, I don't do guilt. Well, that's a huge worry because God does do guilt. God is very, very, very much doing guilt because the whole Bible from this point on is written about this sin and guilt, which are realities in our lives, and how God alone, only God can do something about it. Not just therapy sessions so that somebody counsels you and you start to feel not so bad about guilt. Not God doesn't interested so much in dealing with the feelings of guilt, but the reality. Your guilt is a fact, not a feeling. Leviticus 5, if a person sins, even if he doesn't know it, even if they're not aware of it, even if they don't feel bad about it, nevertheless, it's a fact, they are guilty and they need to confess it. I remember when the late 60s, the first Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns, remember those? And you had the bad guy, and he mows down like a whole family, you know, and the camera focuses on his face. He doesn't bat an eyelid, just killing this family. His conscience is completely seared. That's you sometimes, and me. That's what we like sometimes. When I first went to Swansea Prison with a mate of mine, and they had to have the ID and all that, and they run your name on the computer, and of course he'd had a prison record from 5 years ago. They wouldn't let him in. Even though he'd been a good boy for 5 years, even though he'd served his time. No, it was on record. I'm afraid you can't come in. You're not suitable for coming in. Last week, was it, they rescued on Ben Nevis in an 80-mile-an-hour snowstorm a bunch of climbers, whatever they were, hikers, whatever. Three of them in trainers, totally unprepared. And as you sit there now, and some of you rightly giggle at that, you're totally unprepared for meeting God. Some of you are not ready. Only Jesus can sort this guilt out. But do you see yourself as God sees you? Do you see this ABC in your own life? That's the thing. I paid 150 quid last week, a week before, because somebody had smashed into the front wing of my car. Did they stop? No, they just drove off. I wasn't around at the time. It was parked. They just covered up by thinking, I'll get away with it. And they did. For a while, and you've done it, and I've done it. You say, I've never do that with a car. Okay, maybe not with a car, but you've covered up. You covered up your mess. I know a fella, we'll call him Di. He was accused of a serious crime. He was totally innocent, accused of a serious crime. 18 months of absolute stress and horror. In fact, his wife had a complete meltdown. Waiting for the court case, gets to court, the judge throws it out and says, well, this is ridiculous, you'd never have come this far, there's no evidence. So Di is acquitted. Wonderful. But the problem is, a lot of his friends don't seem to want to know now. Why? Because they believe, deep down, all right, he got off, but you never know, do you? Because anybody's capable of anything. That's what they think. Some mud always sticks. Why do we think like that? Because we know we are capable of almost anything ourselves, aren't we? That's the thing. Nobody can be trusted because of this ABC, this when we realize, oh dear me, I could lose my reputation or whatever, what do? Cover up. There's a footballer, Dele Alli. He plays for Tottenham Hotspur. He wrote some things on Twitter about the coronavirus. He had a bit of flack. So what does he do? He puts this statement out, he withdraws it, and he puts this statement out now because he doesn't want anybody to have the wrong impression of him. In other words, oh, this is me, but I don't want you to realize that this is me. In other words, I'm going to pretend, I'm going to cover up, and I'll pretend to everybody that this is not me. And you've done it, and I've done it. I was a bloke years ago in church, not this church, fortunately, in church. He'd done a bad thing. He knew he'd done a bad thing, and what was worse, he knew that I knew he'd done the bad thing. But he looked me in the eye, and he sobbed, and he managed to draw in sympathy from other people for the harsh treatment he was getting in my hands, when actually he knew he'd done wrong, and he knew that I knew that he'd done wrong. But he, you know what? He knew I couldn't prove it. That was the thing. Are you any better? Are you? Bluff, thing is, one of the downsides of being in the church for a long time, 20 years, is that you've seen everybody behave badly. And you've seen everybody try to cover up. And so everybody's lost their reputation in your own eyes because you realize that they're just like you. You know, on the hill here, if Bill upsets me and has done something bad, you know what Bill does? He stays away from me for 6 months and then he comes back all friendly as if nothing's happened. But that's come into the church. That's what people do. People like you do. When you behave badly, instead of doing what is mandated in the Bible, we confess our sin to God, and we may have to confess our sin to the individual as well, but we confess to God and we repent and we ask him to forgive us. People just stay away and pretend it hasn't happened. This is the pattern in the world. Let me remind you of Revelation 21, how heaven will be so much different from earth. Behold, says the Lord, I'm making everything new. I'm going to do a new thing. I'm making everything new. And then he goes on, anybody who hungers for reality, for eternal life, anybody who thirsts will be forgiven. Come and drink freely, he says, from the water of life. Tremendous. But, he says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, and there's a long list, and all liars are headed for the lake of burning sulfur. And for me, it's the top and tail of that list, I think, is the most common, the most popular, if we like, in churchy scene. The cowardly and the liars. That's what most of you were most guilty of. Cowardice and lies. And it says in Revelation 21 that the cowardly and the liars, they will not get in. That sin needs to be forgiven. Listen to it, Isaiah 63, talking about Israel, his people. They rebelled, so the Lord says, so he turned and became their enemy. We see it every day in the obituary column, don't we? Remember visiting my parents when they were alive 25 years ago? And in the newspaper, there was a whole page written by Irish journalist Mary Kenny. She was celebrating her 50th birthday. But the whole thing was not a celebration. She said, it's great now that I've been, you know, you're 50 and I'll have some parties with friends. But what really worries me is this, she said. From now on, day after day, relatives and friends will be picked off one at a time by the grim reaper. Was she right? She was. When you get to a certain age, your friends, your relatives, it's one funeral after another, isn't it? Why is that the pattern? Why? Because Genesis 3, afraid, blame, cover up, we've heard it. Sin brings death. Every time, sin brings death. Now, is there anybody here who will dispute that? So if you don't dispute it, what are you going to do? Bury your head in the sand? I tried that for a long time. Hope it'll go away. See, I'm not asking, are you feeling desperately ashamed? I'm not asking you how you feel. I'm asking you, can you see the fact that this is you, regardless of how you feel? Whether you're distraught about it or whether you just say, well, there we are, this is the way it is. But this, can you see this is the fact? This awful situation, the wages of sin is death. This is the reason that Jesus left heaven. To be tortured on a rough wooden cross. To provide guilty people who cover up all the time and try and shift the blame. To provide one way out and only one. And I'm saying to you this morning, regardless of how you feel, see your situation, take the one way out. His name is Jesus. Take him. Amen.